Send it in.
And hello there for episode 6 of the Puckett Send It In podcast, where the vibes are high as the Florida Panthers find themselves having a commanding 2-0 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning as they take care of business against the Bolts in Sunrise and defend their territory. So I'm Jake Gibson alongside Alex Krutchick, my friend and co-host. And Alex, we saw a lot of action in games 1 and 2, with both of which had similar final scores. But the way the Panthers got to those 3-2 wins, very differently. And in the case of last night, it was none other than Mr. Playoff himself, Carter Verhaeghe, securing an overtime winner as the Panthers are really making a case for themselves to move on from this series quickly against their in-state rivals.
Yeah, it was a lot more scoring chances. It required both goalies to play on their heads last night. I mean, Andrei Vasilevsky and Sergei Bobrovsky already made some pretty nifty saves on a Saturday afternoon, but really last night was both of them at their absolute best. I mean, we'll talk about the acrobatic, almost art-like save that Bobrovsky made on Matt Dumba later. But yes. Yeah, I'm looking at what they did yesterday. So Florida had 31 scoring chances last night. Tampa had 15. The Panthers had 18 high danger scoring chances. The Lightning had 8. It was a lot more open of a game, I'll say, than game 1. Even though some of the stats don't reflect it as much, but just the eye test. Right. The Panthers' defense looked great again in the first period. I think they actually looked even better in some regards last night than they did in game 1 in the first period. But then in the second period, they kind of let Tampa come back in and make their way to the net and get some high-danger scoring opportunities. In that second period, Tampa had 6 high danger scoring chances per natural stat trick. That's where I got that info from. They had 8 scoring chances. 6 of them were high danger just in that second period alone. So definitely a different vibe, a different style. You know, a win is a win.
A win is a win. And Florida was not fully healthy for that game. Ryan Lomberg had to sit that game out due to an illness, which is always a little bit concerning this time of the year for one player to get sick. Hopefully the rest of the team is not going to experience what Lomberg is. Granted, a few other players were sick a week and a half ago. Players like Tkachuk had to sit games. So hopefully this is the latter end of that, and that's all closing up. But still, it was definitely a tale of two halves, Alex. I thought Florida played near-perfect hockey in the first period. They got their 2 goals relatively easily. You had Sam Bennett, who we'll talk a bit about later, scoring the first goal of the game. And then you have Tarasenko with the latter goal in the first period. And it felt like, okay, maybe Florida can actually add on to this lead and kind of cruise along here against Tampa Bay. But the second period, Tampa got out to a very hot start. And Florida's offense did not respond the way you would have thought they would have. It only took 6 minutes for the Lightning to equalize this game, and it felt like Florida had all the momentum in the world. But they began the second period flat, and Tampa Bay absolutely took advantage of that.
Yeah, that's the one thing about Tampa. We've seen it before this series, but you're seeing it especially in this series that the Panthers can get all the momentum that they can, but the Lightning are still just, you know, one touch away from getting all that momentum back. And you saw it in game 1 when the Panthers didn't allow a shot on goal for the first 12, 13 minutes of the game. Then out of nowhere, they fire 4 shots on net in 9 seconds and they score a goal. And it's tied 1-1. You kind of saw that again yesterday. As good as the Panthers looked in the first period, they didn't really carry that momentum into the second period. Braden Point gets a goal early on, and then Steven Stamkos has one of his patented one-time slap shots from the left face-off circle during Tampa's power play. So it almost felt like all the hard work that they put in the first period was all for naught in the second period, other than Sergei Bobrovsky.
And Bobrovsky Thankfully, he had a phenomenal night yesterday. Again, probably one of his better games in a while, and he doubled up on it tonight. Last night. He once again continued his success rate at these high danger chance goals that I know you like to bring up, Alex. And let's just get right into it. It's the highlight of the game that has taken the country and the world by storm on what Sergei Bobrovsky was able to do last night, facing the majority of his net wide open, and he committed highway robbery. Let's take a quick look. This was from the Panthers social media. Look at all the open net right there. Oh, my goodness. It was the save of the game. He's 35 years old, by the way, and he's still making absolutely acrobatic plays like that. Something I always like to figure out in a very important game like this, regardless of the sport, it's the turning point of the game. When does the game change in one way so that when the team that wins, they look back at the film and they figure out what was the moment in the game that got them, that propelled them to that? And it absolutely had to be this save that was a 99.9% guarantee goal for Tampa Bay that would have put them ahead and likely would have stayed that way considering how the game turned into a defensive stalemate in that third period. That was the turning point of the game. It might have just turned into the turning point of the series if Tampa does not respond well to it tomorrow as they get set to go for game three in Tampa Bay. But I think it's absolutely the greatest play in general we have seen so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, kind of reminded me, was it Aiden Hill last year who had that ridiculous stretched out stick save on Nick Cousins who couldn't elevate the puck over Hill's stick? And you kind of knew in that moment, it was early on, I think it was game one in Vegas, and you knew, okay, they might be destined to win this series. That's just one of those things that seems to happen. I'm not going to speak too early. I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me in trouble. I'm not going to say anything that's going to jinx anything. All I'm going to say is there's certain plays that you see where you say, okay, the team might be destined to go somewhere far because of the play that I just saw.
Yeah. It felt like at that point, Florida could do no wrong when a guy like Bobrovsky, Officer Bobrovsky, back on the case, makes an absolutely insane play like that. And and then the game transitioned into overtime, and Florida is a great hockey team. They play amazing hockey in the playoffs. They did last year. They're doing so this year. But Florida in overtime in the playoffs turns into the greatest hockey team ever assembled. They are I believe they entered last night 7-0 in postseason games dating back to last year. The last time they lost a playoff game in overtime, Vincent Trocheck was still on the team. So it's been a hot minute. And thankfully, it felt like
Sorry, Jake. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the Trocheck trip game.
Yes.
Was that the last Panthers overtime loss?
I believe that was the last overtime loss in the postseason. Because as we all know, they went perfect last year, and so far this season they're perfect. Thankfully, it felt like every time last year in the postseason when a game went into overtime, it'd take them until like the end of an overtime period before they'd get their game-winning goal. It only took them just about 3 minutes this time, as Verhaeghe is just so good in overtime. He turns into just an amazing player. He's an amazing player. He turns into an absolutely unbelievable player in overtime. He was calm, cool, and collective as a whole swarm of both Panthers and Bolts approached Vasilevsky. Verhaeghe just sort of skated by and pretty much baited Vasilevsky into diving low, but he still had the puck, and he just sank it into the wide-open area of the net, and that was it. Even though game one and game two were same score, 3-2, it took Florida very different methods to earning the win. And last night could have gone either way. Tampa's coach had talked about this post game. They poured their heart and soul into winning that game because they knew, because they know that the goal of playing on the road in back-to-back games like that, you have to get at least one in a situation like that. And Tampa didn't. And maybe a controversial opinion, Alex, I'd like to see if you agree, but it felt like Tampa poured all their energy into winning that game last night, and they didn't. And it's going to be near impossible for them to get back to that level that they were on last night. And Florida's chances of sweeping the Bolts just went up exponentially now that they somehow did not beat the Panthers last night.
Yeah, I struggle to say that it was an absolute must-win for Tampa. I mean, look, every game in the playoffs is a must-win. But I don't think that it necessarily increases their odds of getting swept, I should say, because they still haven't played in Tampa yet. It's hard to win in Sunrise, but it's also hard to win in Tampa. Mm-hmm. This Tampa team, although it's one of the weaker ones that we've seen in the last few years, they still have the pedigree. They still have the same coach that brought them all the success that they've had in the last few years. They've still got the same core, the same captains. So I find it hard to believe that they won't get at least one game in Tampa. This is still a series that you cannot let your foot off the gas. And it's one of those things where I wonder if last year's defeat against the Boston Bruins, in which the Panthers were down 3-1 in the series, I wonder if that taught them any lessons, if there was any lesson to be taught. I mean, for all I know, maybe they already knew never to take your foot off the gas, but if there was any doubt of taking your foot off the gas, they had a front row seat to what that might look like last year
when
the Bruins were up 3-1 in the first round. And now they're going to have to do all this without Sam Bennett for at least a week. According to Paul Maurice, prior to practice today, he said Sam Bennett is going to be out for at least a week. Jay, can you look up the schedule for me real quick and tell me how many games that would be if it's 1 week? I believe it's two that he is going to miss.
If it's a full, I'll quickly check. But if it's a full week, like as they say, it should only be games 3 and 4, and you should be back for game 5 if there even is a game 5. So,
While you look that up, for those that don't know, Sam Bennett went to the bench in the second period last night, Jake, after getting hit on the hand or on the arm area by a slap shot by one of his teammates. So he's going to be out for at least a week. So it won't be the exact same Panthers team that is playing in these next few games as the one that just won 2 games in a row.
Okay, so just to clarify, Alex, if a week means the starting today, then that week would end on May the 1st. So he would actually miss a potential game 5, but he would likely be back right on cue for game 6. Again, if either of those were to happen. So, perfect. By the way, I did want to acknowledge that the 2 times Florida traveled to Tampa Bay this season, they won, but the only win Florida got it, or Tampa got against Florida, was here in Sunrise. So it's a bit ironic. Anyway, the Amalie Arena. I'm struggling to remember the name. The Amalie Arena. I get it confused with the Amway Center. I think that's the home of the Magic.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah. The first game, shocker, 3-2 win for Florida. That was back on December, right after Christmas. And then, of course, you have that infamous game on February 17th in which Florida cruised, winning 9-2. So Florida knows how to beat Tampa Bay in Tampa in the regular season. That's a big asterisk. I'd like to also acknowledge something else, Alex, by the way. None of this is Vasilevsky's fault for the reason they are losing. Vasilevsky is playing just as good as Sergei Bobrovsky, and now Bobrovsky's getting all the spotlight because he made that incredible save and because the Florida Panthers are up 2-0 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. But this goalie battle may be the best goalie battle we're going to see in the Stanley Cup playoffs this season, which is insane that it's happening here in the first round and that the Panthers are still finding ways to win.
I think so. I think it would only be rivaled by potential, and I'm going to stress it because, again, I believe in jinxes. It would only be rivaled by potential Bruins versus Panthers round two series.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say, Jake, going back to Sam Bennett's injury last night, for whatever it's worth, so Bennett is on that second line with Matthew Tkachuk and Carter Verhaeghe.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his absence, Anton Lundell moved up from the third line to the second line at center. Yeah. And then Kevin Stenlund, who was in for he was already in anyway. I was going to say he was in for Ryan Lomberg. I don't believe that he was the replacement. Stenlund went to the third line center. Lundell at that second center position was pretty good last night, and he was the one that set up that game-winning goal last night for Carter Verhaeghe. As impressive as it was for Verhaeghe to score that goal, and as impressive as it was for Matthew Tkachuk to win that board battle and dish it out to Lundell, Lundell's the one that was being marked by two Lightning defenders in the slot. And then between Lundell and Verhaeghe, Verhaeghe was standing in the crease. There was another two Tampa defensemen, and Lundell was able to fire a pass and thread the needle between those two defensemen and get it right on Verhaeghe's stick. It was a wonderful pass. He played pretty well last night. You hate to miss Sam Bennett for obvious reasons, but I've liked when Anton Lundell is at his best, I've liked him a lot this year, and he's been at his best more often than he has been in previous seasons.
I would like to acknowledge probably one of the biggest negatives we saw last night, obviously aside from Sam Bennett's injury. Sam Bennett played amazing in that first period. He had a goal and an assist on that Tarasenko goal. Hopefully he gets well sooner than later. But the Panthers played a little bit sloppy at times. We had talked about they laid off the penalties in game one. Game two, both teams kind of played ugly for the majority of the second and third periods trying to break the tie. And there were a few silly penalties that Florida had committed. There was that one goalie interference call. I forget who on Florida committed it. But, Alex, do you remember who
committed it? Yeah, it was that? Carter Verhaeghe. And it was a little ticky-tacky. I mean, it was a if I'm remembering correctly, it was a fine call. It was the call that needed to be made, but it
right.
was largely unavoidable.
Yeah. And the one penalty that I'm still very mad about was the slashing call also on Carter. Granted, Carter Verhaeghe kind of saved his ass by winning that overtime goal, but he committed a slashing penalty literally right after a faceoff in which the Panthers were going to have man advantage following an interference penalty on Tampa Bay. It was literally a 4-second difference. So, and obviously the 4-minute double minor on Lusterinen on that high stick to begin the third period, which we thought, all right, Florida's going to have to play from behind. But their penalty kill wowed everybody. And again, it's nice that they have a great penalty kill, but I really hate to see them put themselves in these situations where they have to fend off Tampa Bay's power play. And granted, you may recall, I believe it was Ekblad that broke away, had a one-on-one with Vasilevsky in the midst of, I believe, that 4-minute double minor. And he could have maybe won the game if he had gotten by Vasilevsky. I wish it wasn't Ekblad in that situation. I wish it was someone like Reinhardt. He probably would have pulled the trigger and gotten that goal. But
the Panthers, sorry, Jake, the Panthers have this tendency this year to when they get breakaways, it's it's the guys that you really don't want on a breakaway.
I know.
It's always the fourth liners or the defensemen that are like really defensive minded, even though Aaron Ekblad is pretty offensive minded as a defenseman, but he's not exactly your breakaway guy. It's always that. You always say, oh my God, someone's dashing down the ice. Who is that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Nick Cousins.
Why couldn't it be someone like Barkov who could just pull some magic with the stick and just get it behind Vasilevsky, which he has done before? So I want to acknowledge that. The penalties kind of got a little bit carried away there in the third period. Thankfully, neither team could really do anything with their power play because their penalty kills, both teams, Florida and Tampa, were absolutely excellent. Physicality-wise, I thought, after game one, I thought, oh, man, 100 total hits on both teams. That's crazy. That must have been that. I don't think we'll see that again. They doubled it and gave it to the next game as once again, the second straight game they've gotten over. Actually, no, I take that back. They didn't get over 100, but they got awfully close. They're at 95 total hits. This time it was Florida who was the more physical team, 51 hits compared to Tampa's 44. So it's nice to see that Florida's desire to absolutely hurt Tampa Bay was not just a one-time gimmick. In game one, they definitely want to stick with their guns, which is, I think, what they're most known for in the postseason, delivering some brutal hits, and that's sort of their identity. So I love that. Florida also dominated the shots on goal, even after Tampa got their two goals in the second period. Florida was the more aggressive team after that. It's just, you know, they had to deal against Vasilevsky, but I still enjoyed how much time they spent in Tampa Bay's area of the ice last night.
Yeah, it was very good. That was one thing that never really went away. Like, as much as the Panthers allowed Tampa to open up their offense, Tampa did the same thing to Florida's offense. So,
yeah,
not concerned about the offense at all. Not that that's what you're saying, but, you know, I was very impressed with what I saw yesterday. And if Andre Vasilevsky didn't play like retro throwback Andre Vasilevsky, Panthers would put up 4 or 5 goals.
I do have a clip here of Bobrovsky post-game. Again, warning alert, he's kind of a quiet talker, and not to mention this was kind of a very short interview. He was obviously, no doubt, he was immediately asked his initial reaction to that save. So this is what he said.
Bob, it was through your first save there. I know obviously one of the biggest moments in this game tonight.
Yeah, it was, the first shot you missed from that, and then the second one, I was a little bit late behind the play, and it was desperation, try to throw as much body as possible, and was able to make
it. What did it mean at the end of the game? Obviously, Carter scored the winner, but so many of your teammates went right to you to give you a hug.
Yeah, it's a big win, you know. We are a group of guys, tight group of guys, and it's a big win for us.
When you make a huge save like that,
we'll cut it out there. But basically, it's just another day in the office for Bobrovsky. He's not gonna spill his heart out over a game like this. He just like the rest of the team wants to hoist the cup. More than just getting one really amazing save that I'm guessing probably made it onto the SportsCenter top 10. But, so this team's dialed in. This team is stupidly dialed in. They're locked in, I should say. And to preview game three, how we think game three will go, obviously Tampa Bay will have their fans to back them up at the Amalie Arena. Should be obviously a good crowd, just like how we saw the great crowd of Panthers fans at games 1 and 2. I don't think the atmosphere will really rustle Florida in any way. You might see quite a bit of Panthers fans as well. So I don't think location-wise this will be any disadvantage for the Panthers. It's just a matter of fact of will they keep their physicality and their energy, which goes in mainly into their physicality, in Tampa. And I think absolutely they will. And if that's the case, then we're probably going to see another defensive stalemate that's going to come down to the last few minutes of the game, maybe even another overtime session. But I think game plan wise, it's not going to change for either team in game three.
Yeah, based on everything that I've seen so far from both these teams, I'm pretty confident in Florida's ability to win any game in this series as long as they stay out of the box. You even saw they weren't staying out of the box last night, and they still succeeded. Tampa still only went 1 for 6 on the power play. I don't know if we'll get so lucky next time, but even Paul Maurice acknowledged, like, if the key is to just stay out of the box. And then he started talking about how important the penalty kill is, obviously, but he even knows, like, you need to stay out of the box. It's not a matter of we'll commit whatever penalties we want. We're better than you anyway. You have to stay out of the box. You're not going to go 5 for 6 on your penalty kill every night against the Lightning. So I really think as long as they stay out of the box, I'm pretty confident in them to win any game.
Last thing I wanted to acknowledge, by the way, on game 2 that I just remembered was John Cooper giving the thumbs up for that challenge really early in the game on goalie interference on Tkachuk. And obviously, if you look at the replay, it looked dead obvious that, one, Vasilevsky was majority-wise out of the goalie area, and that, number two, Tkachuk was pushed into him regardless. So kind of surprised they pulled the trigger on that challenge, which obviously forces a delay of game penalty for Tampa Bay. So interesting. I'll just leave it at that.
I guess my only theory for that, because I kind of thought that it was a little quick trigger too. He probably knows that this is going to be a low scoring affair. Like, even the winning team is only scoring 3 goals each game. Every goal counts. You can't just assume, well, no, we'll just get that one back later on. You can't just assume that. So if a goal is being scored, even in the first like 5 seconds of the game, you would want to look at it real hard and make sure that goal really counts.
By the way, shout out John Cooper. He did say Lemon City and Live all in one sentence back in game.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, I guess he is. But he isn't gonna like our predictions for game 3, I think, because I mean, let's keep it real here. How can we really preview game 3? We're just saying that, oh, it's going to be – nothing's going to change. It's going to be low scoring. It's going to be based on incredible performances by Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky. And the winner of the game is going to probably decide it within the last 5 minutes of the game, regardless of if it's an empty netter or if both teams can't win in regulation and it goes into overtime. We've seen this script game in and game out against the Lightning. And just because we're going up to Tampa Bay, it's not going to change anything. I don't think it's going to do Tampa any favors. Florida's not going to be bothered by that. I guess they're going to be unbothered. And it's going to be one of those pick'em games where we could absolutely go either team's way.
Exactly. Completely agree.
Yeah. So with that said, let's take a quick look around. What the hell has gone on in the NHL playoffs? There were a couple of incredible games back on Monday. The Toronto Maple Leafs, who looked like they were going to get blown over by Boston, actually turned the series around and won by a score of 3-2 on Monday. And now I believe game 3 is going on right now. The Bobrovsky save kind of made that Florida-Tampa Bay game probably the most watched, or at least most replayed, of the series. But the comeback that Carolina was able to do against the New York Islanders was absolutely surreal. The Islanders were up 3-0 in the second. Carolina got a goal. So it was 3-1 entering the third. And then in the span of 3 minutes to go in the game, Carolina pulls out their goalie, gets a goal, makes it 3-2. And then they somehow score another goal 9 seconds later, ties it up, and then they get a goal at the near end of the game. Just an absolute choke job by the Islanders, who I thought I would have really have loved to have seen the Islanders battle the Hurricanes, make that a really interesting series. But now the Carolina leads 2-0 over, I would assume, a team that, like the Islanders, are probably feel worse than the Lightning do right now, because not only was it their game to win, Carolina had pretty much gift wrapped them that game, and they still blew it. That was amazing. Yeah. I understand. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just going to say, I'll be surprised if the Islanders don't pull out at least one win there.
But it feels like, it feels like for sure that series is within firm grasp for Carolina. Not to mention their social media team over at Carolina absolutely clowning the Islanders for giving up the lead like that. Anyway, Vegas beat Dallas 4-3. They won the first game of the series. I believe game 2 is tonight. The Oilers took care of the Kings 7-4. I mean, damn, that was a good offensive performance. Also game 1 in the first round. What else happened? Okay, the Rangers beat the Capitals 4-3. That was a close game. Now the Rangers have a good stronghold 2-0 lead. Colorado dismantled Winnipeg 5-2, which I thought was super surprising. That series is tied. And the Predators also took care of the Canucks. That series is tied. Those sneaky Predators, they remind me of us last year, the Panthers. So they tie that series up against Vancouver. So there's a lot of exciting developments going on. I believe Tampa's up 1-0, or excuse me, Toronto's up 1-0 over Boston right now. That's the only game going on as this is being recorded. So none of these series are absolutely guaranteed to go one way or the other. That's just kind of how playoff hockey works, you know? But it feels good being a Florida Panthers fan right now. Not only do you have a 2-0 lead, but you're doing it against, well, your in-state rivals, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, once again, Alex, the attendance last night, absolutely insane. The Panthers fans showed up and showed out. Everybody got a free, you know, one of those rally towels. They made everybody wave the towel as the game went on. Just another amazing, just some of the greatest, the best atmospheres I've ever experienced at a Florida Panthers game were these past couple of games against Tampa.
Yeah, it looks electric. Looks electric. I'll be there at some point soon, either the Panthers sweep and I'll be there round two, or Tampa takes a game or two up on the Gulf Coast and I'll be there for game five. So I've had a lot of FOMO. Every bit of content that you've been putting out has been great, and it really shows how crazy it is over there in Sunrise.
Not to mention all the articles you've been doing as well, just sort of dissecting this team and how the hell they're doing what they're doing. So either way, I think we're in for a great ride here for games 3 and 4 for the Florida Panthers as they're over at Tampa getting ready to take on the Lightning in game 3. That'll be tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Game 4 will be on Saturday at 5 o'clock. And then if there is a game 5, it'll be back here on April 29th. Time is yet to be determined. So, alrighty, Alex, kind of a short episode, but I mean, the vibes are good. And I guess when the vibes are good, you can kind of speed through dissecting what the hell happened in these games. So for Alex and myself, we're saying thank you. Go watch some hockey, and let's go home, baby.
Send it in.